My name is Melissa, and our scripture reading today comes from Acts 3, 1 through 8. Peter and John went to the temple one afternoon to take part in the 3 o'clock prayer service. As they approached the temple, a man lame from birth was being carried in. Each day, he was put beside the temple gate, the one called the Beautiful Gate, so he could beg from the people going into the temple. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for some money. Peter and John looked at him intently, and Peter said, "Look at us." The lame man looked at them eagerly, expecting some money. But Peter said, "I don't have any silver or gold for you, but I'll give you what I have. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, get up and walk." Then Peter took the lame man by the right hand and helped him up. And as he did, the man's feet and ankles were instantly healed and strengthened. He jumped up, stood on his feet, and began to walk. Then walking, leaping, and praising God, he went into the temple with them. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks, Melissa. Hey, guys. Good morning. My name is Erin. If you don't know me, I'm one of the pastors here, and I'm really glad to be here with you today. If you don't know, we have a team that is still in London. Most of them are coming back right now, which is really exciting. They've had a great time. I'll let Lindsay tell you most of the stories, but I will tell you that they did make sweet tea. And it's just important for you to know that today. It's also Fifth Sunday, which is usually kind of weird for us. And so we wanted to take the opportunity to do things just a little bit differently. One thing about me, though, is that I do hate doing anything differently. I like things to stay the same all of the time. I like a lot of routine. But I really have been looking forward to this Sunday, and I think it's because I do everything the same all of the time. I have a almost 10-month-old, and so I make a lot of bottles. I change a lot of diapers. I read the same books over and over again because someone on Instagram told me that that's what I was supposed to do. And I have to listen to someone eventually, right? So I do all of these things over and over and over again, and it just kind of becomes automatic at a point. And I assume that all of you have these things that become automatic as well, whether it is like your drive into work or to your preferred grocery store. Maybe it's making buffalo chicken dip that you've made so many times that suddenly you start doing it and then there's just buffalo chicken dip in front of you. And I'm going to assume that for some reason your thumb knows on your phone exactly where your most used app is. And whenever these things are automatic like this, suddenly things start to get missed in the in-between. So on your normal drive, you might miss a car that normally isn't there. When you're making buffalo chicken dip, you might put in some really questionable looking chicken because your hand moved faster than your brain could. And then also, I don't know if you're like me, but suddenly you've been scrolling for 5 minutes and do not know how you got there. The automated things in us is what made our scripture this morning really stand out to me. I usually revisit Acts a few times a year because honestly, I just need to remember what happened in the church after Pentecost. And as Melissa read to us this morning, Peter and John went to the temple to pray, which is something that people would do every day. Everyone around would flock to do this at the same time together. So it would kind of turn into a hub of people moving in and out. You would see the same people do the same things. And it says that every day this man was brought to the Beautiful Gate to ask for money. And I wonder how many people actually saw him that day, actually saw him. That in the way we move through life, I assume they did too, that you're just kind of trying to get through the in-between however you can, and that might have cause to not see a person in front of them. Because he was always there. He was always begging. He, to them, was as familiar to the space as the structure probably was, as the gate probably was, as the prayers probably were. But Peter and John decided that day and that moment to stop and really see him. I think after the unleashing of Pentecost, there was something that disrupted the patterns and the rhythms of the disciples. They no longer were just looking to see what was next, but knew what was most important was whatever was in front of them. That the disruption was really, really important, that it was vital. And Peter requests the same man to look at what is in front of him by saying, "Look at us." He's welcoming this man into the moment that's going to change his life forever, not wanting him to arrive late or to arrive halfway to his own healing, but to get there early. Peter does what he has seen Jesus do 1,000 times, And it is making sure that the person he is talking to have the dignity of knowing they are being seen, and that no matter their status, they deserve that. And I think honoring a person who typically carried none was usually the most important part of the miracles Jesus did anyways. Peter says in Jesus' name to get up and walk, and the man is able to do it. He praises the Lord and walks together with them into the temple. And later in the scripture, it mentions that he was walking around and people started to realize it was him. It was the man who was at the gate. And I wonder how long it actually took for people to start realizing that it was him. Because he's in a different context. He was standing. He was not doing his normal thing. He was not begging. He was praising. I would like to think that I would immediately recognize a miraculously healed person in front of me. But I'm honestly not sure if I'm ever looking around with enough intention to do that. I do want to be the kind of person that notices a miracle in the midst of my daily practices, but I don't really think I am. One of my daily rhythms that I do over and over again is go on walks. My daughter has just started to like the stroller, and it has been huge for us. But the trick is that she only likes it for 15 minutes, exactly. And if you go over 15 minutes, she gets very upset. So as you can imagine, we go on about, 1,000 walks a day. But we just walk up and down our street, up and down our street. And when you walk past people's houses that often, you start to learn a lot about them. You start to learn things that are great and not so great. So as I have been walking over the past month, I've been reminded of the parable of the Good Samaritan, about what it means for me to be a good neighbor to these people who are my actual neighbors, who I live next to. But if I can I confess something to y'all? I kept thinking about the scripture, but I never once looked it up. Just really kept thinking about it. And I wouldn't suggest that strategy to you all if you feel like the Holy Spirit keeps telling you to pay attention to something, to just be like, okay, cool, and then move on. I wouldn't suggest that, but it is what I did, and it was silly, but it's the truth. And as I read Acts 3 this week, I thought, this feels like a really similar story to the one I cannot stop thinking about. And so I looked up Luke 10, and the story felt so different from how I had been thinking about it. What had previously felt like a call to action suddenly settled a little differently in me. And I want to invite you into the same kind of thing, that we don't let the discovery and knowledge of Scripture fall into the list of things that have become automatic in our lives. Let's believe together that this text is alive, and let's see what the Holy Spirit has for us. So I said before, we're doing things differently this morning, and that does include this portion of the morning. No one panic. I'm not going to ask you to, get up. You're fine. I'm not going to ask anything too crazy of you, but I am excited for something new. So I want to invite you into something called an imaginative prayer. It is a really old practice, and it might be new or old to you. The goal is to take our senses around a story and let that open up our imagination to see Scripture in a different context. If you have watched The Chosen before, I'm going to equate that with an imaginative prayer. They say biblical stories, but they add in details that are human to allow the divine to work and to move in. So we are going to do something similar to that. If you're listening to me and you're like, oh no, this is my worst nightmare, that's fine. I'm going to ask that you try. And also, if you fall asleep, that's fine too. You might need a nap. Okay, so I want you to settle into your seat in a way of get comfy, not I'll stare at you if you go to the bathroom. But release your shoulders a little bit. Find your breath, and you can close your eyes or find a place to look at in the room. You can look at your hands, look at your feet. If it helps for you to receive, you can open your hands with your palms up. And let me pray for us, and I'll jump in. And so, Holy Spirit, I ask for you to come. I ask that as we pray together, you will find us and you will greet us, that you will share with us something new and something fresh. So, here I am. Every belonging I had stolen, I am hurt and alone on the side of the road, feeling the sun on my skin, heating my entire body, a body that is in pain and vulnerable. Where is the center of the pain? Am I able to move my toes, my fingers? What noises am I hearing? People and animals? My own thoughts? Where was I going? Maybe I know, maybe I don't, but here I am, here I am, here I am. As I look at the people traveling just like I was, what do I see on their faces? Confusion, disgust, Horror? I can see as people walk by, avoiding eye contact, but looking nonetheless, speeding up and slowing down. I am unsure what is worse, to be seen or to know that I am what people avoid seeing. What do they think? That this is what I deserve? That they can't help? I am unsure, but here I am, here I am, here I am. Out of the corner of my eye, I can see a holy man approaching. This is it. The rescue I have longed for is here. I will not be left anymore. Hope sinks into my bones as I close my eyes and wait. I wait for too long. Time has ticked for too long. I open my eyes to see the hurried feet of the man across the road, further from me than he started. The hope has washed out of me. What ached now burns. He is gone, but here I am, here I am, here I am. The shuffle of feet has me looking again. Clothed in a holy white, another man approaches. Closer and closer he inches, and there is no way I'm looking away this time. We lock eyes as he walks up. The dirt can't help but form a cloud of dust over my body. He will help. He is here. But as the dust settles, he walks away as well. Will he forget he was ever here? Will the rest of his day even be affected? What will he tell others he saw and did? His life will continue, but here I am, here I am, here I am. Stuck and unmoving, left behind, forgotten, tired of trying. Here I am, here I am, here I am. If there was hope before, there is dread now. Worse than those who did this to me arrives a man that cannot bring any good. The hate I have held on to for longer than I can remember has come to greet me. The man I have turned from, avoided, crossed streets from, yelled at, is rapidly approaching. He stops inches from my body, hands full. I cannot move, cannot talk. Fear takes over. Help has not showed up before. There's no way anyone has changed their minds, and still, here I am, here I am, here I am. Without warning, his hands move into motion. What has consumed me in fear has changed into confusion. My brain is foggy anyways, but what is happening is unbelievable. This man is taking what is his and wrapping what is broken and putting it back together. Not only that, but making sure I am not in pain. Hope starts to creep in, but why? Why would this man take his time on me? To see me? To help me? Before I know it, I am being hoisted up. Time seems to stretch as we are on the move. I do not know where we are going, but here I am, here I am, here I am. As we arrive at an unfamiliar place, I am brought to a bed in a room that I am told is just for me. This is a much nicer place than I could have afforded myself even before I lost everything. That envelops my tired body. The room has air that smells cleaner. Things feel right. What is broken is now set right. I am breathing. I am unalive. I am unsure how. I am unsure how this happened. I do not even know what the next hours hold, but there you are, there you are, there you are. So Lord, will you cement in us what you are saying? Let the details of humans fall and the details that are yours remain. Will you lead us into an imagination that is stronger because of your presence? Amen. Okay, welcome back. Woo. I want us to move directly into Selah to sit and reflect. This is something we do every week, to sit and pause and try to listen to what the Holy Spirit is doing and not move on too quickly. But I think it's important, especially today, because I think sometimes there are things that fleet from our heads as soon as we kind of like look up and come back to the world. And so I wanted to move us into this now. I do have a few questions for you to think about as we do Selah, to hopefully guide you into where the Holy Spirit was leading you. You don't have to answer all of these, and usually my favorite way to pray is just to ask why over and over again until I get an answer. And so you don't have to answer them all. This isn't a quiz, but just, you can choose one or two. So number one, what did it feel like to be alone and looked over? So no people saw you but did not want to. Is this a feeling that feels familiar or one that feels new? Two, what kind of people did you see approaching you? What about the ones passing you by? Were these people that you knew or associate with a certain place? If you knew the people in the story, like if you put people you know in the story, did they fit within their character or was it different? And three, what did being seen by the wrong person feel like? What did receiving help from that person feel like? And four, where did God show up? Okay, so I want you to contemplate these questions. The verses of the story of the Good Samaritan will be on the screen, so if you want to like compare and contrast and see if I said anything crazy, you can. Let me pray for us going into Selah. Jesus, we thank you for this morning, that we have space and time to contemplate you, to take a pause longer than we usually do, to sit and breathe and be present. And so I ask in these next few minutes that you come and invite us into something new, that you come and greet us. So Lord, in your name I pray, amen.